This is Stateside. I'm Zoe Clark in today for April Bear. In 1936, Victor Hugo Green published the first edition of the Green Book. It was an almanac mapping out safe spaces across the U.S. for Black travelers, from hotels to restaurants to tourist attractions. Green said he hoped one day the guide would no longer be necessary. Issues of the Green Book haven't been published since the 60s, but our present-day conversations around racial profiling and police brutality suggest the open road still isn't a welcoming place for everyone. Ron Stodgill is an award-winning journalist and associate professor at the University of Missouri School of Journalism. He grew up in Detroit. He recently wrote an essay for the New York Times called Black Behind the Wheel. He explores how American roads haven't become much safer. He spoke with April last month.
Ron Stodgill, welcome to Stateside.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing all right. We're so glad you're with us today. You note in the article that a few years ago, the NAACP issued a travel advisory on the state of Missouri as unsafe for people of color, and that that advisory has yet to be lifted. Could you say more about when you found that out and maybe just how common that kind of advisory is on an informal basis?
I was actually living in North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, when that advisory was put out. And what I remember feeling was that that was kind of a bold statement by the NAACP that they would issue this advisory saying that Missouri is not safe. And I thought to myself, well, how unsafe is Missouri compared to other states throughout the country?
When you were a kid, did your family do much road tripping?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I grew up in Detroit. We were just a car family, you know. Both of my grandparents worked at auto factories, and just cars were just a big, big deal for us, you know. So family reunions down in Tennessee and in Georgia, it was always the car. Of course, trips across the border, which felt really romantic back then, you know, into Canada. You know, it was always that. I remember a trip to New York, and I remember the little trips to Chicago, but it was always the car. I sort of experienced the world from the back seat of a Thunderbird or an Oldsmobile or a Buick, you know?
Right. When did you start doing the navigating yourself?
I started driving pretty early, but I didn't have my own wheels until like out of college. My first car was this Honda Accord hatchback. It was right after graduation. I didn't know how to drive a stick, but it was from, so I was sort of bouncing around for a while. But I had an internship in Dallas, Texas at the major newspaper there at the time, the Dallas Times Herald. And I drove from Detroit all the way to Dallas, which was like...
Ron, I feel so bad for your transmission.
I know.
Learning to drive a stick on a trip like that.
You know, and it's weird because I ended up kind of like getting pulled over somewhere outside of Arkansas, but it wasn't even, I was cruising along by then. I mean, you talk about the learning curve. I think after like 15 hours of driving, I totally got it. I was real smooth, but yeah, I got pulled over and it wasn't about anything. I grew up, we were terrified of what they called the Big Four, you know, which was sort of four cops kind of riding down on you. And I was just a kid, but I remember we would just yell. We would see four white cops in a police car and say, there's the Big Four. And we weren't even doing anything. We were like 10, 11 years old, but we would just scram. You know, Mayor Coleman Young had made it one of his big initiatives, which was to sort of integrate the police department. And so that, I think Young broke that up. He made it, he required cops to actually live in the city. And so you wound up with a police force that was predominantly Black who could care less, probably about 10, 11-year-old kids. And so, sure, we hung out. I went to parties and stuff at, you know, four deep in the car, sometimes more, and we never thought anything of it. It wasn't until I kind of left Detroit that I was exposed, I guess, to the way it really works out here.
You have this passage in the essay that's just absolutely devastating. It says, when you're black in America, you learn to distrust, fear even, that lovely machine preening in your driveway. And it goes on, our cars, hyped up in such American values as freedom, mobility, and adventure, reveal the falsity of these ideals, even in the basic routines of daily life. And you reference the death of Philando Castile in Minneapolis, and the experiences of Samuel DuBose in Cincinnati, and Walter Scott in South Carolina, as, you know, just a few of the black men who've been killed by police during traffic stops. I mean, are there ways that you've tried to stay aware of what might happen while not entirely losing sight of the joy that you take in being out on the road?
Well, when the Times asked me to talk about, I mean, I've been hearing about driving while black for so long. It's just kind of, I mean, for a writer, a tired topic. And I just thought, like, I don't really have much to say that hasn't already been said brilliantly. But then I did think about my own roots in Detroit and my romance, you know, with cars, which may have been maybe just a little more elevated than, you know, my contemporaries. We loved cars. I mean, they were the lifeblood of the community. We would sit around and just look at, you know, different cool cars, Mustangs and Corvettes and Cadillacs and you name it. And so we could not wait to get our own set of wheels. And I think very quickly, though, you learn that along with that, there's this paradox of, sure, you know, it's really kind of not like The Graduate where Dustin Hoffman is cruising and is like, imagine that scene, you know, he doesn't get pulled over. I think whenever I see a black guy in cinema or a black woman, it, you know, cruising along, just enjoying themselves and this whole ideals of freedom and the wind rushing at them, I am actually feeling like maybe they're going to be pulled over any minute. This scene, this is how this scene is going to end. There's too much joy right now. And so absolutely, I think that you start to kind of over time make choices that you might not otherwise have made in terms of what kind of attention you're going to draw to yourself on the road. You may want tinted windows, but nah, I think that that may look menacing or threatening, or like you're hiding something, or you may, you know, want, you know, your car to be a little muscle car to be a little louder, but maybe not, you know, that may not be a good idea. I remember I lived in New York City for several years, and it didn't hit me until I left and moved to Chicago, how much I enjoyed just sort of hanging out and actually riding subways, you know, and taking that part of the stress out of my life.
Just not thinking about it, not thinking about driving.
Right. And when I got back into Chicago and living again, I thought, oh, it's nice to be behind a wheel, but whoa. What a burden as well.
Ron, so many of the conversations that we've all been having about making America safer for black Americans and black drivers, so many of these, I mean, it's just these really complicated, multi-layered things, because you're talking about different law enforcement entities in different states and different jurisdictions. And, you know, what's the federal role? What's the state role? What's the local role? But do you have any thoughts on just what would make you personally feel safer when you're out and about?
Well, I think it begins, honestly, with a real honest assessment of who is working in these departments, you know, just how diverse they are, and whether or not the police department reflects the community, you know, demographically, racially, culturally, and so that there's not that sort of level of suspicion and fear of people who just sort of minding their business driving, and that they don't kind of set off these kind of false alarms. And I think it's just got to start. I think it's just got to start there with policies that promote real diversity and inclusion, and then training around, you know, how to approach drivers, you know, and how not to sort of set off this crisis that ends in shooting unarmed motorists.
Ron Stodgill is an associate professor at the University of Missouri School of Journalism, born and raised in Detroit, now living in Missouri, and his article, Black Behind the Wheel, appeared recently in the New York Times. Ron, we really appreciate your time. Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, April. I appreciate it.